Hell yes, you can stay sober. It can be done. Who am I and what am I talking about exactly? Well, I'm Jim. I'm Jim Christopher. I'm a sober alcoholic. I've been sober for 34 years, a little over, closing in on 35 years. I got sober in 78, April 24th of 1978, continuously sober all this time. And so that means that I've had a freedom from alcohol and drugs in my life for all these years. Now, I assume that you were doing something on the computer to find stuff talking about sobriety or how to get sober or how to get clean and sober, stay sober, that sort of thing, or you wouldn't be watching this particular event. This guy talking about being sober. Otherwise, you know, what in the hell would I be watching this for, you might say. So hopefully this can be of help for you. I got sober many years ago, and here's a key thing that I want to mention. In all of these years of my sobriety, I haven't, when something bad happens, thought of a drink. That doesn't automatically come to mind. Now remember, I want to tell you that I began living for a drink. I mean, I had that going for me for many years. I just lived to drink. That was it. If I didn't have a drink, I wasn't comfortable. In my case, it was alcohol. I didn't go much into the other drugs. So how to stop drinking and be happy in that might seem sort of, you know, silly or cornball, but it is possible to get sober and to stay sober with other things going on in life that may be unpleasant at times. In other words, life, as you well know, has its ups and downs. But staying sober in this way, in this more comfortable way, is possible. And I call that the sobriety priority as a separate issue. Now, what in the hell does that mean? Well, it means, and I learned from folks who were sober before me, and this isn't an AA pitch, I'm not in AA. I'm happy for them, and that is a way to get and stay sober. I founded something years ago called SOS. I founded that in 85. I got sober in 78 and was happily sober, but I wasn't really fond of the AA approach, and I'll go into that later on. But I got sober through something that I would refer to as an epiphany. It was a flashpoint. Not everyone experiences this sort of thing, but I did, because I had been miserable for so long. And what was the reason that brought this on? I don't have any idea. I have no idea what the reason was, and most folks don't either. They might try to pinpoint it or trace it or whatever, but it was like a flash point where I thought, I can't do this crap anymore. I just can't do it anymore. And it was a very powerful, visceral feeling, which I call an epiphany, like a neon moment that I thought, this is a horror. This isn't my life. It's no life. I can't live like this anymore. As some people say, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's what our friends in AA say, or however you want to look at it. It doesn't have to happen that way for you or anyone else, but it has happened that way for some, and I was one of those people that it happened for in that way. But you can deliberately induce this. What do I mean by this? I mean the sobriety priority as a separate issue from everything else. By everything else, the best example I could, or the best thing I could say is this. You can have hideous issues raging and unresolved in your life, but if you get the conviction, the emotion, the visceral organic thing in here, that I can't drink or use anymore and get away with it. I'm not really talking about willpower. I'm talking about a real survival conviction, you sort of reclaim your survival system, if you will. It sort of comes back in this way, where you say, no more, I can't do it anymore, I just can't. And you have a real respect or fear for the consequences, the painful consequences of drinking or using. Well, if that is your situation, I'm assuming that you've come to this point where you at least want to take a look at some way to get out of this mess, you know, to maybe make this go away. And maybe you're to the point where you think, well, I can't do just drink a little bit less, or experiment with you know, changing to from wine to beer, or vodka to some crap like that. That's a shit. You know, the point is, if you've come to a point where you're exploring and reaching out, you may have come to this YouTube video. And we don't have a magic bullet in SOS. What the hell is SOS? That's Secular Organizations for Sobriety. Now, what does secular mean? Secular just means of this world. You know, like when you go to a football game or a baseball game, or a shopping mall, that's a secular act. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily a secular person, like an atheist or an agnostic. You may be, you may not be. The point is, Secular Organizations for Sobriety, or SOS, or Save Ourselves, is something that I, as a lay person and a secular guy, and a sober guy, founded years ago, founded back in 1985, and we have free anonymous meetings all over the world. We're a friendly alternative to 12-step AA, NA, CA, and that sort of thing. But we need all of these alternatives. There's SMART Recovery, there's Women for Sobriety, there's, as I said, AA, NA, CA, and others. The point is, wherever you go, and if you get sober and stay sober and are supported by the SOS approach, great. Or the AA approach, great. Or you get sober in a church or a synagogue or a mosque, great. We don't care. If you get sober down at the lake on a fishing trip and throw your bottle into the water and say, that's it. That's all for me. I can't do it anymore. I won't do it anymore. That's just as valid as any other approach to getting clean and sober. I think the idea is, some talk about recovery a lot, and they talk about dry drunks and things like that. Let's stay away from that. The point is, I stopped drinking, and many others have too, years ago, as I said, and happily so, staying sober all this time. So when things get really bad, just to give you some perspective on what's going on with me, if they feel bad or I feel down or something bad happens in my life, as it does in anyone's life, I think at least I have my sobriety. At least I have that. Well, for someone who suffered with alcohol addiction for many years, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. So if you can relate to that, then, you know, this may be of some help to you. What is this? This I'm describing, we have free anonymous SOS support group meetings. And what we do there is we offer support. If you come in with your individuality and you don't like to be told how to live, how to be, you won't be. You won't be told how to live or how to be. You will leave the meeting with your individuality intact. It's individuals coming together in a secular gathering or setting of a collective of folks to be supported, to give support and get support. People in a common cause who want to get sober, stay sober, and help others in that process, because it helps them as well. That's what SOS is. And we're also a free thought forum in recovery. I didn't say a free-for-all, I said a free thought forum, so that you can experience being empowered from things you hear and things you learn. And we encourage you to learn from other sources too. You know, television programs, documentaries, books, papers, anything that gives you info and insight that's helpful. to you. We believe in the scientific method, you know, applying science to getting clean and sober and staying that way. So we don't think we have any magical answers. I personally don't have any magical answers, but I do have, and I'm not cured. I think that's very important. I would suggest that to you, that people who think they've been cured and they walk into the sunset, they might find a surprise waiting for them in that they might relapse. I feel that I'm not cured. I have a powerful arrest, however, an organic arrest, a visceral feeling about my clean and soberness, if you will. So the sobriety priority as a separate issue, there's a little anecdotal thing that I can share that I've shared before, because I experienced this as a newly sober person. Remember, I've been sober over 34 years. So this was in my first year. I went to this gigantic meeting. It was an AA meeting where the speaker didn't show up. The professional speaker did not show up. He was sort of a golden boy, I understand. He was going to show up. He didn't. He had car trouble or something. So these folks, I'd been to this meeting a few times. It was a giant meeting, and I heard the behind-the-scenes stuff. I just happened to hear it. They said, well, you know, he didn't show up. He's not coming. What are we going to do? And they said, let's put this gal on. This woman has 9 years of sobriety. Imagine that. 9 years. Wow. I mean, I was working on a year at that time. They said, let's put her on, because she's well-dressed, she's well-spoken, and she can fill the speaker time. So they asked her and they put her on. She spoke. She began speaking. It was beautiful. She knew how to do sobriety. I maintain it's a separate issue from everything else, and you're going to see why in a moment. She kept speaking and sharing about her sobriety, her recovery, etc., etc. Then, toward the end of her talk, she looked at the audience, sort of a glazed look, and said, you know, I'm being raped through the keyhole of my apartment door, through the keyhole, by my manager on a regular basis. I realized at that time that she was sober, but nuts. So, you know, she had, not to make light of mental illness, but the point is, she clearly had sobriety as a separate issue from everything else, because if she had psychotic breaks and was still able to stay sober because she knew how to do that as a separate issue from everything else, to me that's a pretty clear, or at that time it was a clear indication that people can, no matter what other issues they have raging, in her case, you know, she had hallucinations and such, but yet she could stay sober as a separate issue from everything else. And I think that's pretty telling, and it's also pretty inspiring and wonderful, because most of us don't have that sort of mental trouble to deal with. We just don't have those mental issues. So I want to tell you that you'll see on the screen here at some point a way to get in touch with us. And again, we're not selling Tupperware. We're a nonprofit organization. These are free, anonymous meetings, and you will keep your individuality. We don't serve you food and you know, put you in a closet somewhere or something like that. This is not a cult-like situation. It's just regular folks talking in human language in rooms, meeting freely, and supporting each other to get and stay sober. So if you want to give it a try, my name is Jim Christopher. I founded SOS years ago, and we have lots of meetings around the world. So come join us. We hope to see you. Bye-bye.